blah 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 blah
blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah.
Well, Sean, we did it.
Again?
We did the impossible.
Again?
We made it to episode not one, or two, or three, or four, but five.
And six. Actually, technically, isn't this six?
Well, we don't talk about six.
We don't talk about six.
We don't talk about that other one we just did. But this is number five. That's an entire hand.
Yeah. It's
That has
to amount. For some people, it could be six.
It could be, but for right now, it's an entire hand. That could amount to something.
Yeah.
So this is Blah Blah Podcast, episode cinco.
De Mayo.
I am Jason Green.
Yeah?
Jason the Machine Green. Sean, not so Kevin Smith. Alongside Joe Hobo Bettino.
Hello.
And Dan Kitten Mittens.
There you go. Kitten Mittens.
I like that one better.
Well, yeah, okay. That is a better one.
That is a better one, yeah.
I don't actually watch the show, but I get the reference. So.
I'm glad you do.
All right.
So, Mr. I guess, Rundown.
Yeah. We'll start with some video game stuff. Get that stuff out of the way.
Yeah, just that all
yeah,
that crap.
All that crap. Let's get it out of the
I'm
way.
I'm going to kill it.
I'm going to kill it. Let's talk about a little bit of PS4. Apparently, they had their new update.
2.0.
I know.
Now
it's 2.2. System breaker, that one.
Yeah, system breaker.
That always happens, though.
Me and Jason have a PS4. Joe, I don't think you... do you have one?
I have a PS4, but I don't really have much games for it yet.
Okay, well, neither do I have one.
I have Black Flag, which I haven't played yet. I haven't really been... like, I played the first Assassin's Creed, but I didn't really get into it because it was like when they're doing the whole like code
Assassin's
thing.
Creed.
The cool thing about...
I played the third one all the way through, but yeah. I don't want to play another one, honestly.
The cool thing about 4... 4, you don't have to really know anything, because in 4, you're playing as yourself. The ancestor that they're looking at, Kenway, the pirate dude, they're looking into your mind. Like, in the parts where you're walking around Abstergo in, like, the modern-day segments, it's first person.
Isn't it a video game developer or something
yeah,
randomly?
Yeah, they're making a... It's very meta.
This is the one that's coming out, right?
No, that's the one that's a year ago.
Oh, last year, okay.
Assassin's Creed 4. But, like, the parts in the first-person parts, when you're walking around the facility, they're looking at you. They're talking to you.
Okay.
They're like, we're gonna look into your past. So, I don't know. I kind of like that. It's very...
And then this year, they released two different games that you can only get, whether you get next-gen or last-gen.
Yeah, they released Rogue, which deals more with the main storyline, and then Unity, which is really an Assassin's Creed reboot in a way, because they rename everything. I don't know too much about it, but...
I heard that game's plagued with all kinds
of
issues.
Did you see some of the bugs? Like,
yeah.
Like, faces disappear, and it's just, like, skeletal
Did
outline.
You see the one where they're having a conversation, and the Frenchman in the background are, like, having a different conversation? Like, it looks like the Monty Python scene where the Frenchman's insulting people.
Yeah.
That's practically what's happening in the background. I'm like, or the frame rate hitches that has across every console and PC. Like,
I heard that like people just like you could be just jumped off something and just literally fall through the map into nothing.
Well, oddly enough, go back to PS4 with their new update. They now have the share play option,
which
allows
hit or miss.
You, depending on. I haven't tried it yet, obviously, because I think you need a PlayStation Plus account, and I don't have one yet.
Well, you're a cheap bastard.
Mine came, like, when I bought the PS4, it was, like, around Christmas time, and, like, they were, like, selling the last ones, and my mom was in, like, Boscov's, and, like, Mom, if you want to get it now,
they sell them at
it's
Boscov's?
Here. Well, no, she, like, Russ from Boscov's here, because she wanted a Blu-ray player, too, for the house, so...
Yeah, that works.
We got that, and it came with a year-long subscription for PlayStation Network, so...
Well, SharePlay basically allows you to play with someone online, the same game that you're playing. They don't need to have...
Just for about an
console.
Hour.
It's limited to 60 minutes, but basically you use your internet service to stream the same game that someone else is playing without needing the copy. The only problem is that not every developer is allowing you to do this.
Yeah, like Call of Duty just came out, the newest one, Advanced Warfare, and they block share play from their game because they don't want people who don't have the game to play it for free, pretty much, you know?
Right.
Yeah, Activision released a statement. They said last week the company was unable to evaluate. They had to evaluate it to see how the impact would experience the play across all modes. So basically what they're saying is they want to see what happens with it first, see if it's successful, and they might put it in a game at some point later on. But as of now, they're not even going to put a patch in for it.
Yeah. And I was playing Lego Marvel Superheroes the other day. Good game, by the way.
I have a computer, but it's definitely a lot of fun. Yeah. Lego games in general, even if you don't like the property, it's based on the games are still fun.
I really want them to make a Lego movie where DC versus Marvel. I feel like that's the only place.
Well, they're making a Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was playing Lego Marvel the other day, and I said, you know, I'll try SharePlay out. And I tried getting my friend into my game, because, you know, those games are predominantly multiplayer.
Mm.
And I tried to get my friend into my game, but it said my internet wasn't fast enough. And
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
So it's like, how fast?
Unless you have Fios, it's probably not going
to. Yeah.
Here's a list of the games that are not allowing SharePlay to happen. We have Another World, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, as well as Call of Duty Ghosts, Child of Light, Fez, Hotline Miami. Most of these I've never heard of.
Hotline Miami is actually really fun.
Yeah, these are all games I've heard of.
Okay. Metro Redux, Minecraft. Why? Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate. Rayman Legends.
Ooh,
Rayman always freaks me out.
Rayman is awesome.
Steam World Dig. Thief. Tomb Raider, which I guess is the reboot that they did.
There's not going to be another Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 because the next one's an Xbox exclusive.
At least for a while, like a year or something.
And the last one is Wolfenstein, however you want to put it.
I just want to know, they keep doing like these. They're doing these sequels and all. Where is the Attack and the Power of Juju sequel?
Oh, it's coming. It's gonna be rebooted and it's gonna
like
be
a dark, gritty Attack.
Exactly.
Reboot.
I was hoping you were gonna say Toad Jam and Earl, but
Toad Jam and Earl.
They're gonna reboot that too.
Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, I want everything bodily.
You know what's funny about the whole SharePlay thing?
Yeah.
Is it kind of sounds like they took the idea that the Xbox One originally had with their family share plan, that they basically, once everyone complained about being online only and non-disc-based console, and then they flip-flopped, and they took all those cool features away, which kind of, like, I was game for everything that Xbox was doing. Honestly, I could care less what anybody else was saying about it. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I don't have to put discs in it anymore. I don't have to worry about getting up and putting a new game in. Like, now I'm tired of even buying the games on discs, so I might just start ordering them straight from Xbox before they come out.
Now, I think if they do that, I think they need to at least make a price change there.
Yeah,
to
not
kind
having
of
the physical media
entice people to sort of get on that.
And like the U.S. itself, like our internet in this country isn't as
we
fast.
We are like one of the slowest countries on the planet, and we pay way more than anyone else.
I heard like Japan,
like internet in like England, people pay like $5 a month for
net neutrality
stuff way quicker than ours.
The Evil Within, this little video game that came out. Apparently, there's a little controversy going on because of the use of the 235 aspect ratio while playing the game. Those, for most of you who aren't familiar, those are the black bars on top and bottom of the screen whenever you're watching a movie on your TV. But this is not just for the cutscenes. This is the entire game. And Dan, you said you had some experience with this.
Yeah, it actually is effective in making the game more stressful to the player, to be a little more for people to get freaked out, because if you actually remember, Resident Evil 4 actually had a much smaller letterbox. It wasn't anywhere near as big.
It is the same person who made the Resident Evil 4 game as well.
And it's very similar to Resident Evil 4, honestly. It does not feel like Resident Evil 5 or Resident Evil 6, which is really nice. But because it's such a wide like angle, and it's not like it was shot on widescreen or anamorphic lenses,
shot at all,
because it's just made on a computer. Yeah. But you literally can't see the floor or the ground unless you specifically want to see it, other than what's really far ahead of you.
Wow.
So when you're running away from something, you know, if you had a little bit more of a view of angle, you could see if someone was coming close, but it stays tight on your back, so you don't even see your legs most of the time.
So it makes for some really
scary
moments.
So it makes it so, like, if something's behind you, you literally have to turn all the way around to see that it's there. Like, and ammo is actually pretty scarce in this one, too, so far. So, I mean, it's...
Well, apparently, it's also 30 frames per second as well, which I guess kind of helps out in that a little
bit. Yeah, it's locked at 30 frames, even though, you know... I honestly don't want all my games to run at 60 frames per second like some people do, but I guess that's probably more because I'm film oriented.
Mm.
But
it's people are a little upset because they're not used to it.
Aw, poor little people.
I think the PC people are trying, I think they've figured out ways of, like, hacking it to get rid of them or something like that. But the designer even said it's specifically meant to be made that way. That's how he wanted it.
Well, they say it's 235 by 1.
It seems a little more than that.
Well, some people have said that it seems more like a 2.5.
Yeah.
But these are all arbitrary numbers as well. Apparently there's a game coming out later on called The Order 1886.
Yeah, February.
PS4 exclusive.
That's awesome.
It said that that's going to have a 2.4, definitely. So even if that, it might even be cropped shorter than the other one. We'll see what happens with that. I have a list.
I wonder if they're going to pull the camera out further in that one, though.
I don't know.
It's not. I don't think that game's meant to be a survival horror game. It's supposed to have some creepy elements in it because it's supernatural. But
I have a list here of the most popular games for this holiday season for each console. Would you like to take a guess at what the number one most popular game for each console is?
Sure.
All right. So let's start with the PC. What do you think is the most coveted PC game of this holiday season?
Math Blaster.
World of Warcraft.
Minecraft.
WoW is number 5.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Math Blaster, it was, I think.
Math Blaster? I don't see it on here.
Math Blaster?
I don't see it on here.
You remember?
You got it like 2 plus 2 is 4. And
you shoot
just
like math.
If you really think
space.
About it, you can come up
with it.
Well,
it's probably just Call of Duty on pretty
much
everything.
No.
Is it Five Nights at Freddy's?
No.
Papers, Please?
No.
Goat Simulator.
I do know Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is actually getting a really, like, huge amount of sales.
I haven't gotten it yet. The first one terrified me, and I haven't gotten the second one yet, mainly because I have a Mac. But
The Sims 4.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Apparently,
right.
Completely forgot about that.
There's people that aren't even gamers at all that love those games. So I guess that
they're
called like a social
girls.
Gaming thing. Yeah.
Called girls.
I guess they still make games for the PS Vita. I guess.
Yeah.
Freedom Wars.
I'm not even gonna have you guess. This is Minecraft.
I didn't even know they were putting that on the Vita.
Yeah.
That was what used to be the PSP, right?
Yeah
it's the PSP too. PSV.
3DS, this is an easy one.
Smash Super
Bros.
Smash.
Yep. And the Wii U.
Same thing.
Smash Bros.
Same
Wii
thing.
U, Wii U.
So here we go. PS4, what do you expect this to be? Jason, you actually already know this. So.
I forget. I'm just going to say Call of Duty. Oh, no, Destiny.
Well, what do you guys think it is?
I would say Destiny.
I don't know why it is Destiny, though, but
it, it
is
Destiny,
is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the new expansions
yet,
are coming out.
That
so.
Game is like a poor man's Borderlands. It really is.
I had fun with it. I had
Where's
the time
that?
Of my life.
Shadows of Mordor on that.
Ooh,
I have that,
see
but
it.
I'm waiting
really?
To see.
I heard it's been really good. I haven't played
I'm
yet.
Waiting to see what the reviews for 2K15 come in, because I bought the buy two, get one free from Target, and I left one in the package, so if something comes out, I can exchange it. If not, I will play Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah.
Xbox
awesome.
One.
But wait, no, but getting back to Destiny, like I had the time of my life with that game for literally a solid week, and then I just got completely bored with it. I haven't played with it since, and I'm like, was this really
we still talking about Destiny?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at that game side by side with Borderlands, it's astonishing how, even though Borderlands is cel shaded, it just looks more fun. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It is. I mean, the pre-sequel's actually really fun, too. Me and Mike just picked it up.
I wish
great.
That would come to PS4.
Xbox One. This is a pretty easy one. Most wanted game.
Master Chief? Collection?
No.
It's probably Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, yeah.
That's the console it's played on more than anything else.
Yeah. So here's the Xbox ones. We have, in first, we have... Actually, I'll go 10 to 1. We have Far Cry 4.
Ooh.
Halo, the Master Chief Collection.
That's also extremely glitchy right now, too.
NHL 15. We're going into sports games here.
Ooh.
We have NBA, NBA 2K15. Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yay.
FIFA 15. GTA 5 at number 4. Madden NFL 15 at number 3, and Destiny number 2, number 1, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Kind of similar for the PS4, number 10, we start with NHL 15, then we go Disney Infinity 2.0.
Oh yeah, a lot of people
with all the superheroes in it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Skylanders, but it's Disney's version of it. Where
I thought that
figures.
Was just a Wii game.
It's on everything.
And it's not only just like Marvel heroes, too.
It's
also
all
Disney characters.
Anything Disney
it's like,
can be in it.
I see that stuff all the time.
They even
I don't
got
know what
Nightmare Before Christmas stuff in it.
Any
now,
Disney
too.
Property, really. It's like, you know,
Apparently, it's fun in a similar way to the Lego games are, even for older people. You know, like, because I enjoy the Lego games and they're made for kids, but
yeah,
I still think they're fun.
Yeah,
so.
They're fun.
Number 8 is Far Cry 4, 7 NBA 2K15, 6 Assassin's Creed Unity, 5 FIFA 15, GTA 5 is number 4, Madden again, and then Call of Duty is number 2. So basically, it's very similar, although
different
they switch rankings out top and bottom for Call of Duty.
It's probably
and
because
Destiny.
More people just play Call of Duty on Xbox controller.
It's very possible.
Yo, bro, let me get that Call of Duty.
I actually picked it up because it's the first Call of Duty. I was even interested to play the campaign.
Kevin
since,
Spacey?
Yeah. And
Troy
I'm
Baker.
Playing it so far, I actually, because I didn't pick up Titanfall at all because it had no story mode.
Yeah.
It was all online, so.
Hmm. I ran by this little interesting little article. Are we, anyone here, aware of why video games come out on Tuesdays?
I never.
Nah. Well, all new media, even movies, too.
But generally, video games never were Tuesday properties that come out. And it's, that's what. Other than Nintendo,
I
those are the
read
only
it a
ones.
A while ago, yeah, Nintendo releases randomly on Sundays and stuff.
Saturdays,
like,
I think,
yeah,
is Smash this year. Here's a little history lesson that I found. This goes back to the 1990s, 1992. Do you remember the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 sequel
with Tails?
Just
or
Sonic
the sequel
the Hedgehog
to Sonic
2? Or
Sonic
the
Hedgehog
Sonic 2? Hedgehog 3?
No.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah, first
the sequel,
time
sequel
Tails
to Sonic. Yes. It says here back in 92, Sega and Nintendo were at the height of their console war.
That was a system seller, Sonic 2.
Yeah.
That thing sold a lot of consoles.
They wanted to promote the sequel, and they were, as rumor has it, they were trying to pick a day to release it. And someone came up with the brilliant plan of calling it Sonic Tuesday. Sonic Tuesday. So they released it on a Tuesday, and they made a big event out of it. You know, sort of build it up. And other companies saw this and they said, you know what, this is, because normally at the time they were just releasing games whenever they felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would just go into a store and you would just, hey, this game came out. This looks pretty interesting. So the idea was, we're going to tell people when this comes out. We're going to make a big event out of it. And that should increase people's interest in wanting to buy the video game. And inevitably, that's what everyone started happening. And now we have all this midnight stuff going on. And
I worked at a GameStop, so
yeah,
I have some experience with
sometimes
that.
It gets a little crazy.
But the only thing that is weird is not so much anymore, but more in the middle of the 360 and PS3 era, there's still some games out. Some games would have what they would call a ship date,
mm-hmm,
but not a street date.
Yeah.
So say you thought a game was coming out on a certain date and you go
same thing
to the
with
store,
movies too.
And then you go in there and like, oh, that didn't come out yet, but you saw the date that was like on ads for it. Like, I remember Rainbow Six Vegas 2 had a ship date, but it wasn't the same day that was in stores. Most games, obviously, the date you see is the date you can go buy it in the store.
Mm-hmm.
But so when it says ship date, it can be any day of the week it'll show up.
Just kind of shift gears, but still in the video game topic. I just read an article
mm-hmm,
not too long ago. That so you know that recently they dug up all those ET cartridges in the landfill.
Yeah.
They're selling them on eBay
for
how much?
Probably a lot.
It's not only just ET, but it's other games. But of course, the ET ones are the ones that's selling more. So just
how much?
To throw that out there. A couple hundred, I think. A
couple hundred.
Well, they're bids, so they're not like
a.
It's not like a buy now.
Speaking of
it's
that,
you know, you bid and they're at a couple hundred right now.
Did any of you see the Angry Video Game Nerd movie?
I haven't wanted to.
A friend of mine actually, who is good friends with James Rolfe, did some of the editing.
He's from
on
Jersey area,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. My friend, he was telling me like, oh, I know so many things about this movie that I can't tell you because I'm not obligated to. But once the movie came out, I'm like, can you answer all my questions? And he's like, yeah, now I can.
It was fun because they had to call E.T. like E.T. so
like
they didn't get in trouble.
E.T.E.E.
Yeah. Yeah. Does he still live in New Jersey?
I think he lives in P.A. now, but I think he lives.
I met him a couple times. He's a very quiet guy. And
yeah,
like,
I was listening to him on some radio shows not too long ago, and he's so subdued.
Yeah,
he's
not
the
like
nerd.
His character.
Yeah.
He's more a film guy than he is.
Yeah, so is a nostalgia critic.
I act in
nostalgia
a
nostalgia critic just grates on me more than
dude, I can't stand his voice.
Yeah.
I like his reviews.
He used to be really good, now he's kind of
he
remember
went
when
away
he wanted
for a while
to retire.
Yeah,
and then
but he was
then
forced to come back cuz
yeah,
Demo Reel did awful.
Yeah, no, he wait, what was Demo Reel?
It was his like show that he was going to do after the Nostalgia Critic, but no one liked it. It was like that, these people remaking movies, but it was like awful. It was more character based.
Because he, yeah, I think he realized that Nostalgia Critic only was the only thing that bought hits to his website.
I act in a web series called Living in 8-Bits, which is a it pokes fun at video game culture and like video game logic and applying it to real life.
Free plug.
Yeah, pre plug. We just passed our Kickstarter for a DVD.
Ooh.
So yeah, expect it soon. But James Rolfe has been in a few of our episodes. One of it was this guy. It's like a whole Legend of Zelda thing where he's like trying to get through this this office building, but it's like all the mazes and stuff.
Yeah.
And James Rolfe is in there eating lunch with a bunch of people, and he's like, "You didn't even invite me, and this and that." And James, like, he sits down, and James Rolfe goes, "It's my chair. Don't sit there." And then he moves, and he goes, "Now eat your damn chalupa and like it."
So like, how, like, he just agreed to be in there?
Yeah,
because, like,
well, because my friend Mike, who Mike Lecision, who created Living in 8-Bits, is friends with the nerd, and he edited the nerd movie. Well, parts of it, anyway. He was one of the editors.
So your friend who has a goatee and he's got glasses?
Yeah, he wears a Hawaiian shirt all the time.
How did they become friends?
No, I think you're thinking of someone else. But Mike does a web series called... he worked cinematography on a web series called Nerd vs. Geek. And the people who ran that are good friends with James Rolfe. So he met James Rolfe through them. And then at a Halloween party, he's like, "Oh, you know, if you ever need help on the nerd movie, you know, I edit and stuff." And then one day James took him up on that. And he's like, "You know, I do need some help editing it." So,
sweet.
You know, he got all the details before everyone else did.
Well, I mean, you kind of brought up the subject about movies. I think we're going to subject into our movie talk now.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's
all right. Movies.
What are those?
Well, I guess we'll start off by talking about some stuff that we've seen recently.
Stellar.
Species. Oh, okay. Interspecies. What?
Two.
Oh, God.
With three. Adrian Brody.
Yeah, they made that. It was called Splice.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have sex with that thing?
Yeah, he does.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
So we saw Interstellar. We saw it in IMAX 70mm gorgeousness.
You know, it was great, but I have to admit that massive headache that I had when I came out of the movie.
I didn't have
it. I don't think it was from the logic. I think it was from the sheer size of the screen.
I have yet to see it, but that's what I hear.
I think it was from the mac and cheese.
Yeah. I didn't bring it into the movie.
No.
That would have been cool.
No.
I've seen people sneak beer into the movies.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, you go to certain places, like, we only have one place near us called the Movie Tavern, which is in Collegeville. Mm. It's literally, you go and you get drinks brought to you while you're watching the movie, which is about the Alamo Draft House, which is pretty much, most people think they're the best theater chain in the country. And, of course, most of them are in Texas. I think they're starting to put one up in New York now. But that's kind of their thing. But they also have a rule where if you get caught with a cell phone, they throw you out of the movie and don't refund you your ticket, so you don't have to worry about anyone interrupting your movie like that, which is really
cool. I
wonder
what the cutoff for that is. Like, they only allow you one beer or two?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to keep bringing you stuff out of the movies in because that's worse than a cell phone.
Yeah,
but.
Really. So we saw it in the IMAX, the actual 70mm print. The movie itself, I thought, was good.
I liked it. It wasn't great.
It wasn't his greatest movie, Christopher Nolan. It wasn't his greatest movie ever.
But it was a very good movie.
It was good. It was good. It was pretty solid.
I mean, I'm not going to go into any spoilers here, but there's a part at the end. I wouldn't say the end. There's still like 20 minutes of the movie left because it's freaking long as hell.
It didn't feel that long, though.
To me, there was a scene towards the end that just really just like I did not see coming at all. And it just basically just... like goes insane. It just goes insane. It's like, you know, the whole movie deals with like space travel and like time relativity and all that cool
stuff.
A lot of science, but this it just goes like this. They start throwing in dimensions and stuff like that, and it just goes nuts. And at that point, I was like, "What am I watching?"
Is it true that they steal a shot from Event Horizon or him explaining how time works, but he takes like a piece of paper or a poster and puts a hole through one side and the other, which is exactly what happened in Event Horizon.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff mimicking 2001, though.
Yeah, they even make
the same shots
to it. But you know what?
Is it similar in some ways to Sunshine also? I've heard some people trying to say that they're
maybe story-wise, but that's all I could see. Christopher Nolan must have like recently gotten a GoPro because he loved putting that IMAX camera on the side of the spaceship. He loved it.
Yeah. Every other shot was that.
Yeah.
Which is why
I'm saying his composition, like in any other movie where they're having like an IMAX camera shooting space travel, they wouldn't bolt it to the side of the ship for majority of it. They would actually shoot like a really awesome expanse of space. Like, mm-hmm.
I hear the general consensus of Interstellar, which again I have yet to see, is people leaving saying, I think I liked it, but I'm not sure what I think right now. And this is like when they immediately leave the theater.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, they have to like process it.
You want me to be honest with you? The ending, as far as, because some people are confused by the ending. I think it was the ending was more coherent than the ending of Birdman. Honestly. Not that the ending of Birdman was bad. I thought it was just a little off.
That's similar to what I've heard and felt, because I actually know the whole plot of the movie already. I ended up seeing everything that happens in Interstellar as far as plot-wise goes and read a bunch of reviews from people I like. It sounds like it's not like I'll hate it like I hate Dark Knight Rises, because I literally don't like that movie at all.
Of course.
But it's obviously...
I can't have to stop you.
It's good, but it's not what... I mean, of course, all the cult of Nolan will rip people apart for saying that the movie's bad, but like even their defense of it is probably going to be kind of paper thin for some of the things that they're probably going to try.
Anne Hathaway was good.
Yeah, she was good. McConaughey's good. There's a surprise.
Very intentionally, unintentionally funny.
I'm not going to say who it is, but
it's been revealed in a bunch of reviews.
Yeah, but some people might not know. I'm not going
to. The thing that's funny is he was announced to have shot something for it before the movie was even close to coming out, and then it just disappeared.
I thought he had the most interesting character.
Was it Talia al Ghul? Was she in it?
No.
Yeah, and then Catwoman just blows her up.
But yeah, I thought, you know, the only bad things I could say about the movie, and like I said, it didn't feel too long, but, some of the situations that the characters were put in were kind of forced a bit, especially, when we find out Anne Hathaway's true, reason for going out there.
All I'll say is the scene from, or the music from the beginning of Back to the Future, that's the power of love. Really plays into this movie.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's very... Yeah, there's a lot of that in there. There's some heartwarming moments. We mentioned before, the chick next to me was just bawling her eyes out.
Yeah.
There was a few people who were...
You should have put your arm around her.
Her boyfriend or husband was next to...
you should have put your arm...
Punch him in the face. And
I'll RKO him. Just out of nowhere.
Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah.
You should have put your arm around him, too.
You're talking about how there's all those new videos are putting him doing RKO all over the place. I saw one of them. I think it was the guy that jumped out of space, that Felix Baumgart or whatever, and it has Randy Orton following him all the way down to finally RKO him at the fucking earth.
The funniest ones are where people are really doing it to their friends.
I would definitely recommend it. I would say see it in theaters as opposed to waiting to rent it.
It's definitely an IMAX.
So if it came out on DVD, would you buy it?
Or
probably because it's Nolan. I would want it for a collection type thing.
Would you really watch it again?
I don't know how much I would watch it again. To me, it doesn't have a ton of rewatch value as opposed to a lot of his other movies.
It's good, like, if, you know, I have friends over and they want to watch it, I wouldn't mind watching it again, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again.
Now, you know what has a ton of rewatch value is Birdman.
I have yet to see it, so don't
Birdman.
Spoil it.
They finally made a Harvey Birdman movie.
I made that joke last show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Make it again.
Get in here.
Ha
ha!
I was going to make the Hawk guy joke, but...
Birdman, I think one of the best movies of the year, if not up there. I
work over the summer at a film camp, and it's mainly a theater camp, so I have a lot of exposure to theater. And in a way, Birdman felt like a play, not just because of the thing they keep talking about in all their reviews, the one shot, which for the most part, is very seamless.
Yeah, and not only is it seamless, but technologically, like, just some of the stuff they must have had to pull off.
Oh yeah,
in the span of 30 days that they shot the movie,
but it's just a story aspect. Like, you have different arcs, like Edward Norton and What's the girl's name?
Naomi the girl from Watts. King Kong.
Naomi Watts. Yeah. Like they have a thing, and like Emma Stone.
Everyone's
and
connected.
Edward Norton.
Everyone's
yeah, and
connected.
It's like everyone has their own little arc, but and not you know all what? Of it affects Michael Keaton's, which is just yeah. like in a live theater show. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own arc, but it doesn't necessarily affect the main character.
And no one's boring. Yeah. Every character either has a purpose or is just a fun little thing to put in there.
You're a fun little thing to put in there.
I know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Michael Keaton's great in it. I'm not a big Edward Norton guy, but he's really good in it. You know, everyone's just really... Zach Galifianakis is good in
it. I will
it.
Say, going off of, like, the ending is a little... You got to think about it a little bit.
I liked it. I liked it, too.
But I will say, I'm really, really mad because the final shot of the movie is in the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's in the commercials. And I'm tired of movies doing
Amazing
this nowadays.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
also.
With the rhino fight. Movies are constantly
also,
doing that
Also,
that's
also being shown as the ad for it on Starz.
Yeah.
It's randomly showing that whole shot of him jumping at Rhino.
Yeah, it's...
I'm like, what?
It's ridiculous that they have to show... I mean, like...
It's because the movie companies themselves are not making these...
Yeah, it's there. They just throw together whatever shots
they
like. And
they probably don't even. They probably say, "Oh, you can't use this, this, and this in the trailer." And like, oh, and then they use this.
Like, yeah. For example, one of the few Christopher Nolan, he actually supervises the trailers that come out. I mean, I don't know, like some of these other movies that have the trailers, obviously, but clearly, you know, they're not. They don't have a problem with showing things that. And if you watch the trailer, you know something that's going to come up if you've seen the trailer a few times.
Yeah. And it's.
And we're not saying what that shot is either.
Yeah, no, we're not. And it's not something that's going to jump out at you in the trailer. And it didn't ruin the movie for me.
No,
like,
no,
the movie still kept me engrossed because the characters and the interactions mm-hmm. were just great.
Yeah, so, highly recommend.
Like, it was very funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, highly recommend that one. Going off of here again, Nightcrawler. Me and Dan saw this
one. The X-Men spinoff?
The X-Men spinoff.
I wish. I mean, but
we can briefly hit on that.
First of all, it was a first-time director.
Yeah, writer and director.
Yeah. I mean, ooh. Out the gate with something
yeah.
that, like, I want that. That's something, like, I know you said it's not really comparable to Drive, but I felt similar feelings after Drive that I felt with Nightcrawler. It's not the same kind of movie, but they're both about sociopaths for sure.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, who I'm not a huge fan of, but he
was great.
He was really good at it.
I mean, Saggy Maggie's brother.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is the most unattractive female lead you can
find.
But
she's a better actress than Katie Holmes.
Oh, I know, but it's like, come on, Bruce Wayne, you could do better than that.
I don't know. If you watch the movie The Secretary, you might actually have some feelings for her.
Maybe.
Doesn't like James Spader like do her in that?
Well, it's a whole like BDSM movie. It's about her being like a submissive and he's the master and everything. Like, it's got a lot of kinky stuff going on.
Ultron's, you know.
Ultron's into that.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that quick connection is James Spader actually played the villain to Robert Downey Jr. in another movie, believe it or not. Years ago,
Less Than Zero, which is the
adaptation of the Bret Easton Ellis book. Mm-hmm. He basically played this evil drug dealer who was like pimping out Robert Downey Jr. to get him drugs. So it's kind of funny that it came full circle. Anyway,
in real life, they were like BFFs, James Spader and.
But Nightcrawler was just DJ. Like the trailers. Like the first trailer didn't really do that much to sell it. The second one that they released more recently is definitely a much better put together trailer, I think, but. The trailers don't even give you anything to know what this movie is going to be like.
I pretty much went in cold.
Yeah.
But ooh. You know the whole movie itself, it's so creepy.
Like how it starts, even the beginning. The opening isn't even a spoiler because
it encompasses his character perfectly.
Yeah. Like the opening of the movie, because I've actually seen this in a room, is he's literally cutting a fence off and shoving parts of it into his car. And a security guard comes up to him and starts asking him, like, what's going on? Why are you here? And he realizes that it's not a cop. It's a security guard. And he gets him, like, close and he's trying to, like, oh,
and
I'm in the wrong place.
And he's smoothing him out,
too. Smooth-talking him. And then out of nowhere, he just jumps at him and beats the crap out of him and steals his watch and then drives away with all the stuff that he stole.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to go and sell that stuff to other people.
He's like a hoarder?
No. He's just... He is
a sociopath that just doesn't understand regular human interaction at all.
Okay.
And that's just that was how he made money in the beginning of the movie. And he only comes across becoming a night crawler while he's just driving down the highway,
randomly.
Sees an accident, and a van pulls up and people come out with cameras, and then he sees that and he's like, I could make money like that. Mm. And then he just decides to start doing it himself. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And the one problem I had, and it's not a huge issue, other than the fact that I think Rene Russo was a little rough in the movie, is the fact that towards the end it got a little too actiony, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but that chase was actually really fun too, though.
Yeah,
like, it didn't feel like it belonged in the movie.
No, not in the movie.
But it was a well shot scene.
It was fine. It was shot fine, but it just felt a little out of place.
They show that in the trailer too.
Yeah,
so.
But then they got it back after. Yeah.
I'm not usually a fan of chase scenes unless they include Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson
jumping from helicopters.
I mean, yeah. And the guy that played his partner throughout the whole movie, he was actually really good. I have no idea who that actor
was, but
he was really good too. I mean,
yeah, and Bill Paxton's in it. He's good. Yeah.
Game over, man.
But it's just the level of crazy of the character. Oof.
Like, and I was trying to say it's got some really nice nighttime photography for LA. Like, I mean, it's definitely a dirty looking
parts
movie.
Parts of it made me feel like it was a Michael Mann movie, though.
More like, what's the one?
My Dad.
With Tom Cruise and
Collateral.
Yeah, that one, right?
Yeah. So that's what we've seen recently. Some good stuff out there. You know, go to the movies.
It's a good time for the movies right now.
Yeah, like, well, we're
not,
starting to come
when
out.
When I went and saw Nightcrawler, Guardians was still in Regal.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I went there.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, it's still
how many months ago is
if you look, it's still playing. Yeah. Yeah. It'll still be playing when it comes out in December on DVD.
I know. I'm like, geez.
I pre-ordered that. And
I actually have it. You probably got the copy, too, right?
What?
There's a DVD copy of it out in the wild right now.
No. I have some movie news for us here. Big news, actually. The Star Wars episode, what are we at, 7 now?
Mm-hmm. It's not even going to be called episode
7.
No,
we have an official title for it. It's called The Force Awakens.
I heard episode 8 is going to be called The Force Hits Snooze.
Well, if it wasn't Ryan Johnson, then maybe, but...
So what do we think of this title? Any
well,
good?
I was just talking to a friend of mine about this. Like, the Star Wars movies never really have good titles.
No.
The Empire Strikes Back.
It's the best Star Wars movie,
but
it's
actually
not a good
is,
title.
It is thematically for the movie because that movie was about the Empire Strikes
Back.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean,
the titles make sense. The titles make sense, but it's like...
Phantom Menace doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no.
Attack
who
of the Clones.
Well, they did attack.
Yeah.
They did.
At the very end. Who was the Phantom Menace? Darth Maul?
There wasn't a Phantom in that
entire
movie.
I think it might have been Palpatine. I think that might have been what eventually by the end.
I think it was Newt Gunray.
Because in the Phantom Menace, they show him in the hologram as Darth Sidious or whatever his name is. But,
yeah.
I mean,
are
you
sure,
know that it's Palpatine.
Are you sure Billy Zane wasn't in that movie as the Phantom?
Oh, yeah, that would have been crazy.
Who was the... It was Watto was, like, the extremely racist...
You had Watto was the Jewish person in the movie. You had Jar Jar, who was, like, an amalgam of everything racist.
And then they brought Jar Jar Bax in the second Transformers movies as Mutt.
Transformers?
Skids and Mudflap.
Skids and Mudflap,
who was, I'm pretty sure...
Jar Jar Binks... In two of them.
Oh. I'm pretty sure Skids and Mudflapper was voiced by Tom Kenny.
Skids is.
Skids, yeah, okay.
And so is Wheelie.
Oh, God.
So, the Force is awakening.
My biggest question is, in Phantom Menace, they say the Force isn't a mystical power. It's
midichlorians. Yeah.
I think that's going to be brushed under the rug.
I think it's going to be retconned.
Maybe Qui-Gon was just crazy.
He was
drunk. Yeah, you ever
but,
see
but
the Plunkett
Yoda
reviews?
Confirmed that, though.
I also read somewhere
There's no point for them even touching that. They're just not going. They're not going to at all.
I also read somewhere that Jar Jar dies when Darth Vader destroys Alderaan. Like he's on
Maybe.
The planet.
Well, Jar Jar, they kind of like.
You know he's showing up in this movie.
Well, they rectified like him by having him pretty much start everything that's like gone wrong by giving Palpatine all the power. He pretty much just. It's his fault Alderaan's destroyed. It's his fault everyone died.
To me, that's an inside joke, though.
Yeah.
Of that. I mean,
I'm interested more because I like a lot of the new cast members.
They got
as actors. They got. John Boyega is really good steal for them to get in that movie. If you've ever seen Attack the Block, that movie is great. I mean, I don't know about the chick because I think she's like an unknown. But,
yeah, this is like her first big thing. But it's they got like
the Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones.
That
is
guy
in
from
it
Girl,
now.
Adam Driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
from Girls.
It's got
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac. I mean,
it's got that old guy,
Max von Sydow.
Yeah, I mean,
who's great.
Mm-hmm. And even though Harrison Ford to me hasn't had his heart in pretty much anything for quite a while, I think he's doing a little more than Bruce Willis. But not much.
Not much.
People want to work
with
Harrison
Ford. Which is funny because remember he replaced Bruce Willis in Expendables 3. Yeah.
Bruce Willis just doesn't give a crap about what he does. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm actually more... I don't really care about what happens in Episode 7 because the director they have lined up to direct and at least produce the next one after Episode 8...
Yeah, Looper
8
guy?
...is Rian Johnson. And
Looper was
anything with his name on it, I will buy a ticket no matter what. Because... he hasn't made anything that he's directed.
Nothing against J.J. Abrams. I think it should be fine.
But I am more interested
in seeing what Rian Johnson can do.
Yeah. I'm also very concerned about lightsabers and lens flares, but that's
oh my God.
I'm worried about these spinoffs. Yeah, they got all these spinoffs planned. I'm like, just keep it the
main. You know what's
story?
Actually a pretty decent thing right now that's going to be tying into it, I guess? That Star Wars Rebels cartoon that's on right now.
I
surprisingly,
it
takes place before the original trilogy.
Hmm.
They got James Earl Jones back for Darth Vader.
But after the prequel trilogy. So it's like right before the rebellion begins.
Did you hear?
But it's actually pretty interesting. I guess they're going to try tying in. The Inquisitor character that's in the show is somehow going to end up in the film universe too, which is pretty interesting character.
That's what they're saying.
So, did you hear that for the storyline for Force Awakens, like it's going to be like they're on a search for Luke, and Luke's like a bad guy.
He's just disingenuous.
There's a couple different rumors between that. One is he's an out and out bad guy. One was that he thinks that he's not good for the universe because he's so powerful, so he like sequesters himself and becomes crazy. And then another one is just that he's been in exile for a really long time.
I like the second one.
Back. So I mean,
what would make him a bad guy though? I see no motivation behind that.
Because he's just got the problem with the Skywalkers is they're so powerful that it corrupts them. I mean, that's their family line, I guess. But
I don't think he needs to be a bad guy.
What I think it is like, I think the second one's the best one too. Yeah. Is that like. He really was he's like the only Jedi in the universe as far as at the end of Return of the Jedi. He's the only Jedi, at least that we know of.
Mm.
And
Leia's got like some of it, but she's not full on Jedi.
According to Samuel Jackson, Mace Windu still exists.
Yeah.
How? He's got shot out of a window.
Yeah, but
Boba Fett fell in the Sarlacc. He's still around.
Well, the only person that I hope still alive is Jimmy Smits. Bring Jimmy Smits.
Jimmy Smits is on Rebels.
God.
He's on the Star. He was on the Star
is
Trek,
he really?
Or the cartoon. His
did
character.
Jimmy Smits voice him?
I think he did.
Oh,
it's
yes.
His model off of the same actor. So
yes.
Why wouldn't they get him back?
That's all he has.
He's still living off that Jimmy's money from Dexter season 3.
He was good.
He was very good in Dexter.
No,
yeah.
No, but
the opening of the movie is apparently going to be a hand with a lightsaber falling down into a desert planet that's not Tatooine and. Mm. Possibly Daisy Ridley could be playing Han Solo's daughter.
That's what I heard.
But if not, she'll use threads from the expanded universe to be similar to Han Solo's daughter, at least.
I'll bet any amount of money that Han Solo's going to die in this movie.
And John Boyega was apparently originally a stormtrooper who, I guess, through the course of the movie becomes good.
Yeah, the idea is that they somehow burn down some town or city or whatever. And
he's disingenuous with
the
Empire at that point, which is actually a really good way because his character is actually pretty similar in Attack the Block.
How are they going to explain, you know, because everyone's going to assume, he must be Lando's kid. You know,
he's just a storm. Why would Lando's kid be a stormtrooper?
Where's Lando?
How many black people are in Star Wars?
I don't know.
Three.
Name them.
Jar Jar.
Mace Windu.
Jimmy Smits is brown.
He's brown.
Mace Windu is Sam Jackson.
Yeah, Mace Windu and Lando.
So this takes place 30 years after Return of the Jedi, so the Empire's still around?
Are they that big?
Blew up the Death Star. They didn't take out
Empire. No, I understand that, but like 30 years later, they're still around?
I think that it's probably like just really like remnants.
Yeah, because I mean, theoretically, Palpatine should be out, although they're saying he might be in the movie still.
Darth Vader's going to be in
Vader's.
It
did you hear the rumor that Sheamus might be doing the body work for Darth Vader, something crazy like that.
Yeah, I didn't think he was tall enough, though.
I think he apparently used to do it as part of a Star Wars tour. He used to actually be Darth Vader.
Wow. Hey, good for him.
Before he got in the WWE.
Bring Warwick Davis back.
He's back in the movie. I don't know if he's playing Wicked again.
What about C-3PO?
They're all back.
Oh. Get Hornswoggle in there, too.
Yeah, he can play the leprechaun. The question is, can he blink?
Well, now he can.
How are they gonna bring back Vader, though? Like, how?
Easy.
I mean, I know. Ghost. I saw... Yeah.
Someone just writes it. That's what happens.
Yeah. I saw a concept art of like his broken mask, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, the concept art's going around a lot for a lot of
I've been
stuff.
Like avoiding like every single Star Wars thing. I'm like,
yeah,
I just
but you know
fully
what?
Surprised.
I'm nothing against Star Wars. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan.
Yeah,
I
like it better than Star Trek.
So do I.
I've never been huge. I did like the toys when I was younger.
But I'm not
great,
one to just be like, I don't want to see anything.
Star Wars
like,
was one of the early, the original trilogy was one of the first like film, three of the first films I ever remember seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But okay, let me ask you this question. When you were a little kid, you saw all of them. Since I think everyone in this room will consensus that Empire is definitely the best Star Wars movie.
Oh,
right? When you were a kid, you probably didn't like Empire that much because of how dark it was, right?
I liked A New Hope the best when I was younger.
Either that or people like Return of the Jedi just because there's everything's good in this one and there's Muppets all over it. Like,
I remember loving the Hoth scene, though, when I was a kid.
Well, I mean, there's good part. The movie's just a solid movie, but I mean, for a kid, that movie was like a huge downer after.
I loved it because I loved Yoda. Like, I just loved seeing Yoda, so that really... Like,
a little too much.
He going to be back, too?
Yeah, I love me.
There's
going to be
a ghost Yoda, I'm sure. Yeah,
get some green.
It's Miss Piggy's voice.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah, same guy.
Ooh, Kermit. Right.
This is at least to some of us, this is some big news. They announced a couple days ago the Evil Dead TV series on Stars.
Hail to the King, baby.
With Bruce Campbell,
reprising
his role as
written by Sam Raimi, actually produced by him and everything.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to direct the first episode. So this is the closest we're going to get. And you know what? This could be better than a movie. You could do way more.
See, I actually really hope, I mean, I know that it didn't do as well as they wanted it to, but I really hope they don't go for the Army of Darkness tone, which is kind of worrying me that Raimi's involved. Like, I hope they kind of even can spin off of some of the reboot style.
Reboot was supposed to coexist.
It was supposed to be a sequel,
right?
Technically. It wasn't really even a reboot. It was the same series.
And they still want to do a sequel to it.
Yeah.
Because Bruce Campbell's at the end of the new one, right?
Is Mia, the character, Jane Levy, is her show Suburgatory still around, or did that get canceled?
I can't tell you.
Because if it did, that
if it's
could
on
be
ABC,
cool. That'd be cool if
canceled.
They brought her onto the Stars show, maybe somehow to tie it together.
I remember reading somehow that like the character from the reboot is like somehow related to Ash.
Hmm.
Well, in the original script, apparently there was a whole nother ending scene.
Yeah.
I think they even shot it.
Yeah, they did.
Where she gets picked up walking down the
road. Oh, I did read that, yeah.
And then she turns into a deadite, like, as a final scare when she's in the car with, like, a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
It's going to be called Ash vs. Evil. Fine title. Here's the official synopsis for it. It says, Bruce Campbell will be reprising his role as Ash, the stock boy, aging Lothario, and chainsaw-handed monster hunter who has spent the last 30 years avoiding responsibility, maturity, and the terrors of the Evil Dead. When a deadite plague threatens to destroy all of mankind, Ash is finally forced to face his demons, personal and literal. Destiny, as it turns out, has no plans to release the unlikely hero from its evil grip. So, sounds to me like they're basically going to do a mixture of both Evil Dead and Army of Darkness.
When does it come out?
They're saying 2015. They're not sure yet. Okay. Obviously, that's next year, but
it's probably gonna be a while because I gotta still shoot it.
Yeah, they still gotta shoot everything. It's gonna be 10 episodes, which is a good solid length.
Are they saying it's just gonna be a one season deal, or is it?
They don't say. I mean, it could be multiple seasons.
It stars, so there's a chance that it could get canceled quickly.
Oh, absolutely. But I think for Stars, it's not like it's an HBO or Showtime. For Stars, as long as it can get a decent fan base.
Which Evil Dead series.
And I think people are going to be legitimately happy to see, you know, Ash, especially considering everyone wants the new Evil Dead movie.
That weird show, Da Vinci's Demons, is still hanging around, and I don't even have any interest
I don't know
in
anyone
that.
Who watches
Black
that.
Sails was actually pretty fun for what it was, but and that's getting a second season, too, so
well, there
maybe
you go.
They're
and,
a little more.
And the Evil Dead series has to be cheaper to make than that.
Yeah.
Plus, again...
It's kind of the charm to it, that it's kind of...
Yeah, and also because it's on Stars, you can get away with a lot more than you would if you were on a regular network show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Here's some big news, especially, well, at least for me. The cast for The Hateful Eight has been announced. The new Quentin Tarantino
Hateful
movie.
Great.
I was surprised that Bruce Dern was still in it, considering I thought it was his agent or something to do with him that got the script leaked in the first place when Tarantino...
Was it Bruce Dern's agent?
It
had something to do with
agent.
Bruce Dern.
I don't remember if it was exactly... Because it was two actors. Yeah. I think it was him and Michael Madsen's agent, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that, but... Yeah, it goes to show you. I mean, if you want the talent, you got, you know, put them in there. But anyway, here's what we have so far as the cast goes. We have Samuel L. Jackson. Looks like he's going to be the lead role in this one, which is interesting considering when was the last time he had a lead role in something?
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It
Black says, Snake Moan.
Was he even the lead? Like, technically, isn't that Christina Ricci in that?
I think Christina Ricci's more the lead in that movie than he is.
So I've no idea.
Snakes on a plane.
There you go. That might
Black
be it.
Black snake
on
a plane.
Black snakes on a plane. Moan.
It says here he'll be playing a bounty hunter and a former soldier of the Union. Oh, by the way, this takes place in a little after the Civil War.
Same universe as Django.
Maybe.
Well,
doesn't
Tarantino claim all of his movies are in the same universe?
Technically, yeah. It says it's going to be, you're going to have all eight of these people converging in Wyoming, and they're going to get stuck at a stagecoach, and there's going to be a heavy storm going on. That's
what
pretty
about,
much the...
See, I haven't read the script, even though I've had it. Like,
I don't want to read it.
The only thing I'm worried about with it is... I know that Sean gets on my case because I say I don't think Inglourious Basterds is great. As
I didn't like
does.
It.
I haven't seen it
I
yet.
Like it, I didn't but like the it. Movie to me is literally five scenes of people talking.
Inglourious
There's
Basterds
not...
and Death Proof are the only ones I haven't seen.
I love Death Proof.
Inglourious
Basterds.
Death Proof gets better every time I see it. When I first saw it, I wasn't that big on it, but now I like it even more.
Inglourious Basterds bored me to tears. I'm sorry.
Speaking of Death Proof, Kurt Russell is going to be in this, hopefully. He's going to play a bounty hunter. There's a lot of bounty hunters in here.
Snake Plissken.
Here's an interesting one. Jennifer Jason Leigh. She's going to be playing a fugitive, and she's never...
She can be good in stuff. She's not...
She hasn't really been
in
She's
not in big stuff. The last thing I actually just saw her, and she was in the movie with Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley that came out last year.
I
can't remember. It was really
good. Yeah, that movie.
I can't remember the name of it.
Happening Now. There
she played the mom of Miles Teller's character, and she was actually pretty good in a supporting role. And most people probably recognize her if they watch that show Weeds, because she was on that for a really long time. But
the poor man's Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Walton Goggins. He's going to be in it.
He was in Django, right?
He'll probably be the same character.
And probably it says here he's going to be playing a Southern renegade who claims to be a sheriff.
And I guarantee you, it'll be the same character from Django.
This takes place after Django, right?
I don't think he's not going to be playing the same character.
No, I'm saying to him, playing the same character.
It's a Tarantino movie, same universe.
I don't.
But he got killed in Django.
Yeah,
I'm saying he died in Django.
It's not the same
character. Pretty brutally, if I remember correctly.
Damian Bashir is going to be in it. He's going to be playing an operator of a men's clothing store. Is it a coincidence that both of these, both Bashir and Goggins, were in Machete Kills? I think not. Tim Roth, speaking of him.
He hasn't been in a Tarantino movie since Pulp Fiction.
No. He's going to be playing a hangman in there. Michael Madsen, obviously, he's pretty much a constant here.
His last one was Kill Bill.
Kill Bill, yeah. It says here he'll be playing a cowpuncher.
Oh,
which is explained as another word for a cowboy who no one really uses. So I guess just a down and out cowboy,
just like his character from Kill Bill 2. Anyone cares about.
Bruce Dern, as he mentioned before, he's going to be playing a Confederate general. That sounds like perfect casting to me.
That'd be cool, especially Samuel Jackson's Union.
Yeah. And you know, Bruce Dern did show up in Django.
He was
very briefly.
The first owner of Django, right?
Uh huh. And here's a surprising one.
Channing Tatum.
Channing
right?
Tatum.
But he's not one of the eight, right?
No, he's not. They don't know what he is yet. But
he's Gambit.
He's Gambit, yeah. But
Gambit's grandfather.
It's going to be interesting to see him.
Can he just play the character Gambit. From 21 and 22 Jump Street? Just show up in there?
Just his great-great-great-grandfather?
Maybe he's like a... Like a cow, like tan, like he tans hides, and they call him Tanning Chatham.
Yeah. Or if you could play the character from This Is the End, that would also be very
fun.
Oh,
in the suit? Yeah. In the gimp suit?
Oh, yeah, he's the ball gag.
Maybe he was the gimp in Pulp Fiction.
That's maybe. Perfect. Right there, yeah.
It
all comes together.
Unfortunately, I have to report on this. Okay. Toy Story 4 officially announced 2017.
You see, I would have been excited for it if it was like new toys, but apparently they got Tim Allen and
yeah, they're
Tom
back.
Hanks back.
They're back.
Pixar, you done fucked
up now.
Are they
really doing that badly that they need to go back to that well again?
You see, when Pixar does a really cool original movie, they do it really well.
I think
well.
Toy Story 2 is still the best of the three, honestly. That's my favorite
they're
one.
All great
it's like
three,
Toy Story is like the only one
so
where
like
the
they can't do a good sequel. But
yeah, they did great with Cars too.
I mean, they're saying that obviously they're going to say it, but they're saying it's, you know, supposed to be such a, and they never wanted to go back to it, but they're saying the story's so great. We'll see.
Why
about
would they
that.
Pay someone to make the story? Because did someone just decide, oh, I'm going to write Toy Story 4? Like, you know, like
know.
that doesn't work for me.
John Lasseter is also a big fan of the Cars series. Like, he has heavy involvement in that. And he
well,
those
well, John
Lasseter
is apparently going to be directing this.
Yeah,
one,
he
right?
is. Yeah.
I
mean,
directed the first one.
The
right?
only
he directed
sequel,
all of them.
The only sequel that I want.
The third one was Lee Unkrich.
Was it?
Yeah.
The only sequel that I want is freaking Incredibles 2. I think that's the only Pixar movie that
I think
warrants.
That's happening.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but oh man, when?
Yeah, no,
when
it
I'm
is.
40?
That is happening. Well, Pixar didn't have a movie this year, so what? I think they're coming out with that dinosaur movie.
That's been in
that,
development for a long time.
There was
time.
One
yeah.
that was supposed to be about like a salamander.
Yeah,
or
Newt.
Something. Newt.
Oh, the next one they got coming up is that the
Finding Dory, isn't that?
That's in
I
two
think
years.
That's 2 years from
the
now.
Next one that they're doing is the
it's
one where
good
it's
dinosaur.
The girl. She has different emotions in her head.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I forget what it's called.
It
but it's like
with Amy Poehler's. The
Amy Poehler, Mindy Kaling, yeah. Lewis Black.
Lewis Black.
Yeah, and the, like it's like she's living in San Francisco and she has like
her emotions are like
embodied like
yeah.
the different shapes, different colors, and it's like
head.
Happiness,
sure
sadness,
this isn't
anger.
Frozen?
What?
Sounds like Frozen.
Yeah.
Oh, Frozen 2.
Sounds
Sorry,
like
Lewis Black.
A warmer Frozen.
Lewis Black is Olaf.
but yeah, then The Good Dinosaur. And then Cars 3 is going
to
be around.
But then they're going to make it a sequel to The Good Dinosaur called The Great Dinosaur.
The and then
great.
The OK Dinosaur. But Cars 3 is coming around at some point. Cars 3
Tokyo
Drift.
You know why?
Because
the toys sell
They make so,
so
much
well.
Money, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether the movies are good or not, it doesn't matter.
But like... Like you said, I would be on board for Toy Story 4 if it was a completely new set of toys, you know, a new trilogy. That'd be fine.
But you'd have to be creative to do that.
But,
that's why I'm glad my favorite Pixar movie, I think, is an unsequelable movie for them at this point.
Up?
And that's WALL-E.
Oh, yeah.
WALL-E was great.
They should not touch WALL-E ever.
Well, I don't, they can't, what,
Up also
is unsequel. I mean, Up is great, too, but I like WALL-E
Up was
a
fantastic,
bit
but...
Yeah,
oh
I like
God.
WALL-E, too.
Up was probably my second favorite Pixar movie,
like,
but...
Toy Story 3, though, ended. Like, you can't... It's like... I just...
Funny.
Make,
Everyone
it
forgets
mad.
A Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I did,
No
too.
One ever talks about A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a really good follow-up to
Toy Story. To
Toy Story. That's
Kevin Spacey is Hopper. And Dennis Leary is the Ladybug.
I just want to point this out. How come no one's made comparisons of Toy Story 3 to the Holocaust? It's clearly there. You can
well,
see it.
You ever see all the Toy Story and the Shining comparisons?
Yeah, I have. I have seen
two,
that.
What was it? Room 238? Or what was the room again? It's like
238. Or 237, I'm sorry.
237. 237 pops up in a number of the instances. In
yeah,
all
there's, well, there's
movies.
A lot of Pixar stuff
so,
going on there.
So, just real quick, if we all just brainstorm real quick, what do you think the fourth Toy Story story is going to be?
Like Buzz if we had to malfunctions guess. And is killing everyone.
Well, I think they might play off of the original idea for Toy Story 2, which is... Buzz was supposed to
be
recalled.
Yeah,
that was the original idea for Toy Story 2.
Well,
the Woody route.
But he's kind of old toy to be recalled at this point.
At this point, so. But I remember reading John Lasseter said Toy Story 4 storyline is going to be a quote unquote love story. So I don't think it's going to be a romance.
Oh, Peep comes back.
I. You know what? What if they like reveal themselves? Like Andy finds out. Like you know what I mean? Let's say Andy gets
what
really
if he's
hurt.
In college, probably getting so much tail right now. Like,
or no, he's probably playing with his toys.
Yeah, he's playing with it.
They go to see what Andy's doing in college.
No, but
oh my god!
It's like the Robot Chicken
yeah,
sketch
where
Andy comes home from spring break and he turns Buzz into a bong.
Yeah, But let's like, what if Andy gets like critically injured and they have to go like save him? And then he
finds out. No, Andy.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be Sid's revenge.
Sid comes back and like brutally destroys the toys.
Yeah, but honestly, like if I was trying to think of a story for Toy Story 4, I can't. Like, what else can they do?
I don't think it's
Rex
possible.
Gets terminal cancer and saw the toys coping with it.
It's gonna be with that new girl that they're with now.
With the Totoro doll.
Mm.
Yeah, and did you know the little hamster doll who speaks in a Shakespearean voice? That's Timothy Dalton.
That was a porcupine, actually.
Yeah.
Mr. Prickle Pants.
Yeah, that's right. Did you guys see the Toy Story of Terror? That was really good.
No. That was pretty good. I like that.
That was really good.
I haven't seen any of the Toy Story shorts.
I don't mind the shorts. The shorts are
they
fine.
Said that's what they were going to do. They said they'll be back, but only in these shorts.
Disney, I like it when Disney does shorts.
They want to see Big Hero 6. I've actually heard it's supposed to be pretty
good. I heard it's good, too.
Because that's technically a Marvel movie, but it's not.
I can see, like, in a future...
Apparently it has a Stan Lee cameo.
They changed everything in Big Hero 6.
I can totally see in, like, a future Marvel movie, like, they're, like the kid from Iron Man 3 could be watching Big Hero 6 on a TV, you know?
You know what's not going to be good? Apparently Mark Wahlberg is going to star in a reboot of the $6 million man called the $6 billion man.
Is he going to have a performance akin to Transformers 4 where he cracks open a Bud Light and drinks it?
As soon as someone mentions Mark Wahlberg's name, I just immediately stop caring.
Can we not forget that Mark Wahlberg beat up an Asian man and blinded him?
Yeah, he beat him like half to death.
Can we not forget that?
You know, talk about good things happening to bad people. I mean, this guy was on his way to jail, and now he said
the only reason he beat that guy up was because he was Asian.
Say hi to your mother for me.
I love his eyebrows in The Happening.
And now he's the $6 billion man. He's probably worth six billion dollars.
Yeah, man.
He's probably worth $6 billion right now.
Can't do $6 million. $6 million man. What does he have, a spork for a hand? Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like, well, what are you gonna do?
Are they actually gonna have that sound effect? And
I highly doubt it.
What was the scene in The Happening when the old lady was trying to kill him? Was like, you trying to steal my stuff? Oh no, I'd never do that.
No, we would never. No.
No, I'd never do that.
Apparently, he's teaming up with the director of Lone Survivor, Peter Berg.
Lone Survivor was actually really good.
And they're going to be with the movie. Apparently, also there's word that he's going to be teaming up with Will Ferrell again for a comedy.
Oh yeah, called like Good Dads or something.
Daddy's Home.
I love the other guys. I think they both have good chemistry.
Yeah,
together.
No, they do. I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Michael Keaton was good in that too.
I love it when The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson jump off the building
and they just died.
Aim for the bushes.
Speaking of spinoffs that no one wants,
Aunt May.
We're going to have a new Rocky spinoff.
I'm actually kind of interested in that one because I've heard people say that the script that's been going around for it's actually a really good character piece, and it makes more sense than them doing another Rocky movie.
Is Billy Dee Williams going to reprise his role?
Billy, what?
He wasn't Apollo Creed.
No.
Who was it?
No, Apollo Creed's, first of all, he's dead.
Yeah,
it was
he died
Weathers.
In Rocky IV.
It was Carl Weathers.
Yeah. Ivan Drago beat him to death.
The
yeah.
same.
Do you remember the Russian beat
put
him to
put
death?
Put that in there. Get some potatoes in there. You got a stew going, baby.
Then Rocky stops the Cold War.
According to the synopsis, it's going to be based on the grandson of Apollo Creed. And it's going to be played
by Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, he's the go-to black guy.
Yeah, he's go-to black guy.
And then Rocky apparently will be a Mickey
Stallone,
type figure.
Stallone will be in there in a supporting role.
Do you guys remember it was Rocky 3 that had the robot?
No, it was Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Oh, 4?
Yeah,
I love you, Paul.
3 had Clubber Lang as Mr. T.
It says here it's going to be directed by the same guy who did Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station, which was also on Michael B. Jordan, that was actually really good too.
Mm.
That's actually a real story that they just. You're dramatized because that really happened.
The only spinoff that I'm really looking forward to is that upcoming culturally significant Annie remake.
Oh, yeah.
Where he looks very hip and with it.
His name is Mr. Stax instead
of
William Daddy Warbucks.
Stacks.
Well, Warbucks doesn't sound ethnic enough.
It's like the beat to It's a Hard Knock Life for that sounds just like the Austin Powers one.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's the same thing.
The exact same thing.
Do you think that for the Creed movie that Creed will reunite and do the soundtrack?
I don't think so.
Can you take me higher?
That was like perfectly synchronized there too.
It's the power of Creed.
Do we know the rest of it?
No.
To a place.
I remember that was in the trailer for that movie Titan A.E.
Oh my god.
Dude. Titan A.E. That was in the trailer for Titan A.E.
You just blew that was the my first time.
I'll never forget
that
it.
Was the first time that movie has ever been mentioned since Titan A.E. came out.
Yeah, that was right? Dude, I still have that on
Don
DVD.
Bluth.
I still have that on DVD.
I have it on VHS that I've
Isn't
never watched.
Isn't that the last
it.
Don Bluth movie, too?
I think so.
That movie was so
Wasn't
good.
Matt Damon a voice in that?
Yeah, Matt Damon was
And so was God. Nathan Lane. He was the alien.
Jesus. Who's the guy? John Leguizamo.
Yeah, and dude, that movie was so good. I love
it. I
that
haven't
movie.
Seen it, but like I just remember the trailer. I'm like, why is Creed?
I remember I watched that movie religiously when I was like 10. I loved it.
You're a big Creed fan.
There was the one scene, spoilers, where Nathan Lane's character becomes bad at the end, and the main character, I think Matt Damon's character, snaps his neck.
Matt Damon.
And it's so brutally, like he snaps his neck completely around. It's so brutal for a kid's movie, but it was awesome.
It's like in Twilight how they just rip people's heads off.
Can you take me
I was watching that the other night because the football game was so boring. So I was going through the channels.
Well,
and
it's football.
They had the last Twilight movie on there. I'm like, I got to see how bad this thing is.
Can we also...
And they're just ripping people's heads off. I'm like, what is this?
Can we also reference...
It was a dream.
Yeah, I know.
Reference the fact that Jacob is eventually going to bang Bella's baby daughter.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
No,
too?
We don't have
like,
to.
Like... That's the thing.
I refuse to watch a single one of those Twilight movies.
I saw the first, and then I went upstairs and rethought my life and just the movie industry.
Did you watch Titan A.E.?
No, I haven't.
I need a chaser. I'm going to put in Titan A.E.
Yeah, I'm old VHS player.
All right. That reminds me of other forgotten animated movies like Anastasia.
Oh, yeah, with Christopher Lloyd as Rasputin.
Yeah, Anastasia and Atlantis.
Oh, yeah, Atlantis, I remember being very underwhelmed with that
movie.
Yeah,
and then there's Ferngully. I mean, we remember that. I remember Ferngully. Tim Curry was the evil blob.
Tim Curry's always the evil
blob. You know
that
Robin Williams was the bat, and he did a whole rap
in
Ferngully.
R.I.P.
Our loving tribute.
Isn't his final movie going to be that Night at the Museum piece of shit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just like in all of his inspirational... All of his inspirational roles, he always does that. Oh!
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody see World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
I have it in my queue.
If that would have been his final movie, that would be a great
way
to go.
You could have ended it there.
Out. Yeah.
And the speech at the end, it's so ironic.
Yeah, and then he's running down the hallway completely with his junk swinging and everything, just jumps in a pool. Like, I don't care.
It's up in the breeze. We have a new segment for this episode.
We do?
Yeah.
Robin Williams?
No.
That's me.
What did we decide on calling this segment?
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. I don't know. This is just random stuff that I found on the internet to talk about.
On the internet.
This is bizarre. Pepsi, apparently, is testing out a new Mountain Dew flavor, Doritos.
I heard about that.
No. You got that backwards.
No.
It's a Dorito-flavored Mountain Dew.
Yeah, Mountain Dew-flavored Dorito. I know, I'm screwing with you.
So Dorito flavored Doritos?
No.
Like a nacho cheese flavored Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
They've got the stoner market.
The trolls of the internet will go crazy.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did some testing up in Kent State University, and a Reddit user was talking about, because he was part of the study that they did. He said, there was other flavors that were being considered during the test trial.
That's the one they went with.
Well, nothing's official yet, but they said the other flavors they were testing was lemon ginger.
Ew.
Which doesn't sound good at all. Mango habanero.
That's actually what the freaking Slurpee I had that one night. Remember I was telling you, does anyone else's throat feel weird?
Is that what that was?
That was a mango chili, not habanero, but it's
close
still...
enough.
A spicy mango. Mango habanero is actually a really good flavor. You can get wings at Buffalo Wild Wings with that flavor on them.
And rainbow sherbet, which he noted tasted like medicine.
Mm.
But as far as the actual nacho cheese went, he said it wasn't that disgusting. He said it tasted like he said it tasted like orange, but then had a Doritos aftertaste, which I don't know what that means.
I'm not interested.
The problem with Mountain Dew is every time they've gotten a good flavor, they made it a limited time or they didn't keep it. Because my two favorite Mountain Dew flavors are Pitch Black, the grape one, And then Distortion, which was a lime-flavored Mountain Dew. That one was really good.
He said it was probably the weirdest thing he ever tasted, which
I can see that.
I can, it sounds like something Jones Soda would make, honestly. They make all that weird stuff. They have the like Thanksgiving pack and have like a turkey soda and like a cranberry sauce soda and all these weird things.
Do you remember that the, I read online they bought back Surge?
No.
Online.
Yeah. No, it sold out on Amazon instantly. It's only through Amazon. You can only buy it in 24-ounce cans, I think it is. It's like tall cans, and you can only get it through there. And it was selling for like, I don't know, like $50 for like a case of it, and it sold out more than once, and then people were charging hundreds of dollars for it.
Wow.
The funny thing is you can order it as Urge from like Norway, I think, or somewhere like Sweden. They still make it. It's the same exact soda. It was Coca-Cola bought it and brought it here at Surge, and then they stopped making it, but they've been making the soda over there ever since.
I love
Remember
Malore.
Ecto Cooler?
No.
It was the Ghostbusters drink?
Yeah, the Ghostbusters High C.
Oh, the High C. Is that what they called it?
It's called Ecto Cooler.
Did you just come here from your time machine?
There's recipes online of how to make your own Ecto Cooler.
Really?
That, like the Ghostbusters. Like,
you just stepped in here from 1999.
You know, like those people that like they call themselves like the Chicago Division of Ghostbusters and stuff like that. They actually have like apparently
they dress up and go around.
Yeah, like.
Oh my god.
Want to blast from the past? How about the films of Fatty Arbuckle? See,
all led by Ernie Hudson.
So I'm going to finish this off this week with a little news story. This was out of Los Angeles. A couple of weeks back, there was a fight that broke out on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's not good enough that I give you the details. I think I need to play you some audio from the actual news report that covered this incident.
I think I remember this news report. It's so funny.
I'm going to play this for you.
The videographer who shot this film says he didn't see the police out here tonight when this all went down. Nobody knows the identity of these people. We don't know how the fight broke out. The videographer says he heard a commotion and just started to roll. The fight erupted on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in front of the TCL Chinese Theater. A production company, FilmOn.com, was there filming and turned the cameras on the characters when they saw the fight. At the beginning, we see Mr. Incredible and Batgirl struggling. Chewbacca tries to break it up. Batgirl scratches Mr. Incredible. Waldo and Freddy Krueger step in. They try to hold back Mr. Incredible, who gets loose, chases Batgirl, throws
Destiny?
A punch, kicks her, and then flips her onto
the
sidewalk.
Infinity War preview.
Bystanders chase him off. No characters out tonight saw the fight, which the videographer says happened around 5 p.m. But this guy... So what should I call you? What do you go by?
Batman.
Comic books. When it comes to superheroes on the sidewalk, there are good guys and bad guys.
The good ones, we're stationary. We're stand against the curb. People come to us. But the bad ones, they roam up and down. So they cross paths or they...
Sounds like Klaus.
They target the same people and then they get into each other. It's less now because we have a lot more police presence
South
here
African,
since last year.
Actually.
And it has made a difference. It's not cleaned up yet, but it's getting better.
Now, even though the police weren't initially called out here after seeing this video, they're absolutely interested in following up. Reporting live in Hollywood, I'm Suzanne Marquez. Pat and Paul, back to you.
If you watch the video, it's not Batgirl, it's a Catwoman. Like, if you actually watch the video, it's Catwoman. So they didn't do their journalism right.
When you said Freddy Krueger, I was like,
Freddy Krueger, not just Freddy Krueger, Freddy Krueger and Waldo.
Yeah. And Waldo, yes.
They're
borrowing sweaters. The best time.
Well, if you watch the video, the person playing Waldo looks like a middle-aged woman with a purse. It's the weirdest looking.
They
Waldo
went on. Jimmy Kimmel did a thing on it, and he had Waldo and I think Chewbacca as well there doing testimony. And the guy who stopped the fight was just like one of those guys who's like selling his like rap album.
Yeah.
And the entire time he's holding his album cover forward so the camera can see it. So he's like holding it like right in front of him while he's talking about like, you know, how you shouldn't hit women.
Oh my god.
I just love when he goes Batman.
Batman.
What should we call you?
Batman.
Oh, so good, so good. So yeah, that's all I have for this episode. So
that was a great note to end it on, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was saving for that one. Hopefully, we'll do some more of those special little miscellaneous.
We will never
segments.
Forget that fateful day.
No, we will
history.
Never forget. Never forget.
Well, I definitely won't forget Titan A.E. now. Now that it's back in my
welcome.
Brain.
I'm gonna go check Netflix, see what's
He's on there.
Yeah. Wait, you want to know something? Man, I was on the subreddit before.
Poor Shad found a way.
Space sticks.
The subreddit was, what's the worst subreddit there is? Dude, there's a subreddit called Pictures of Dead Children.
Oh.
And it's exactly what it is. I have no idea how it's legal, how these people haven't shut it down. But it's literally pictures of dead children.
Oh, that's horrible. It's
how long awful. Did you spend on that?
Not long at all. I clicked on it to see if it was real, and I'm like, yes, it's real.
It sounds like one of those things where you think it's going to be like draw, like stick figures or something.
It was literally like, you know, just pictures of dead kids. It was awful.
At least it wasn't bestiality.
No.
At least you had that going for you.
You know how there's that like Rule 34?
Yeah.
If you think
I saw what it was like Anne Frank, and I'm like, what the hell?
Anne Frank and who?
Just Anne Frank with like stuff on her face.
Oh.
And
it's like Anne Frankenstein?
I didn't know she... I didn't know she did that. She was deaf, dumb, and blind, right?
Helen Keller.
Obviously, he didn't get that one.
Is that, so, was that? What was that from? That
Clerks,
was,
too.
Clerks too. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
So do you think? Do you think Waldo and Freddy Krueger, you know, borrow shirts from each other?
You got sweater shop swaps.
I mean, they can't put them in the same load of wash. So I don't know what they do.
I'm gonna kill it. Vince McMahon, everybody.
Should I end with that?
Yes.
No. If anything, I would put it in post. So yeah, that's all we have.
Well, guys, thanks for joining. I had a blast.
Yeah, good times.
Thank
good
you.
Times.
Thank you.
Next time we do episode 6, we should team up again.
Isn't, I thought this was episode 6.
The titled episode 6.
Should I call this episode 6, episode 5?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do
episode
that.
Episode 5:6.
5:6.
Yes.
:7.
Colin Powell.
Colin
Powell.
No,
Clems?
That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I'll call it episode whatever, colon, and then Powell.
No, that'll be the comic one, because that has no title. That's just an aside.
But no, I think I have just to put it on this one.
Versus DC.
Yeah. I have to put it on this one because this one is doesn't have like an actual theme to it. You know what I mean?
But this is episode 5.
I think technically it's like, 6, though.
If it's a continuity, this is the fifth one. The one we just did before is a sidestep.
That's right. Oh, well, we'll cut all this out in post.
Yep. Okay.
We'll make it sound good.
Bye.
Well, I guess we're just ending with that then, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jobo, take us out.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Jobo, oh. Jobo do your Nick Cage impression.
Like doing a send-off like Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening here today. Everyone have a good night. Remember to watch China E!
Sounds a little like Anne Hathaway in the movie.